Genesis chapter 3, verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. Now stop there for just a moment. We're going to do a lot of stopping tonight. We don't know what the serpent looked like. We know what a serpent looks like now, but we don't know what it looked like then. I personally don't like snakes. Is anybody else with me in that? You don't like snakes? Anybody like snakes? I know there's a couple here that you like them, all right? The very small minority that do. But really, snakes are beautiful. I don't like snakes, but I can say the snakes are beautiful, all right? The colors, you're like, okay, you don't like snakes, but you say that. No, really, they are. The shininess of them, the colors that they have, the different iridescence on some of them, the red and yellow killifellow. I mean, that's just beautiful, right? Now if you get the right one, it's red on black's a friend of Jack, and you can have pretty one there. So there's some beautiful colors and they're shiny. We don't know what the serpent looked like. I don't think it looked like a snake with legs. I've seen some artists that have drawn it like a standing up snake that's got legs sticking out the side of it, or like a lizard. And I just don't see that was, because Eve was talking to it. Ladies, most of you, if the snake was in that tree, a snake in the tree trying to tempt you to eat whatever fruit that was, you probably wouldn't have stayed around to talk with him. I don't think he looked quite like he looked like as a snake. So just keep in your mind that this serpent didn't look anything like he looks now. We know for a fact that he had legs. Okay, that's the only difference that we know. I just feel that he looked a lot different. He was very subtle. He had communication. He's talking to Eve here. So now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And the woman saw, when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. I almost called this something along the lines of Christmas shopping, but I decided not to do that. But I think it's timely. I think it'll be appropriate. I think it'll be very helpful for us. Eve was the crowning achievement of God's creative power. The very last thing that God created. He'd already created everything. He'd created man, and then he created Eve. She didn't have a sinful nature. She lived in a perfect environment. She had an abundance and a variety of food. God had planted this garden. Not all of the earth was like the Garden of Eden, but God had made a special place, this Garden of Eden, and that's where he put Adam and Eve. She had all the food she wanted or needed. She had no fear of poverty, no fear of sickness, no fear of old age, no fear of death. It would be tough to sell her anything. She's got everything she needs. She had a perfect husband. Eve and her husband both had daily fellowship with God. Every day they're spending time with God. They had a wonderful devotion time in spiritual life. She had no tensions, no pressures, no in-laws, no neighbors, no relatives. She had a fulfilling role as a helpmeet to her husband. She had it made. If Eve could become discontent with all of that, there's really very little hope for us unless we identify and reject the subtle tactics of alluring advertising. So that was a mouthful. I want to give you some of those. The subtle tactics of alluring advertising. We see the serpent, the serpent used these tactics on Eve. It's the same tactics that many people and marketers will use, trying to get us to buy something, and many times trying to get us to sin, trying to get us to do things that are wrong. Friends will use these tactics sometimes to get us to give in to pressure to do things that are wrong. I gave you a handout. Hopefully that'll help you to be able to follow along real quickly. I'm just going to go through them. I'll give them to you quickly. Genesis 3:1, the Bible says, now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field. Number one is going to be this, using beautiful and successful appearing models. We're talking about the serpent. We'll talk about its subtlety as we go on here. But the idea, and I mentioned this already, The serpent didn't look anything like what we would see. He was subtle. He was sly. He was artful. He was cunning. He was most likely a very beautiful creature. We know that the serpent was charming. It got Eve to fall for what it was selling. And we know that it was subtle, and it got Eve to do something wrong. It was certainly not repulsive. It wasn't something that Eve ran away from when she saw this serpent. So this tactic number one, subtle tactic of advertising, is to use a beautiful and a successful appearing model. You know, the idea is, if you buy this product, you'll look like me, or you'll look like this. Beer commercials use that all the time. They use attractive young men and young women to sell a product that has nothing to do with looking more attractive and younger, but the advertising works. So using a model that appears beautiful and appears successful, when a successful person advertises a product, the unspoken promise is, you're going to be successful like me. Why do you think we get famous people to sell products? Famous people to do advertisements on the radio, famous people to do advertisements on TV. The unspoken promise, they don't say it, but it's an unsaid promise, is you're going to be successful like me. I've got to move quickly because I've got a lot to give you. Number two is, and he said unto the woman. The serpent's subtle. He didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve. Satan got control of Eve's emotions before Adam was even aware there was a problem. Adam didn't even know that Eve was being tempted. You know, authority is a God-given protection. Kids, God gave you parents to protect you. God made the home so that the husband is the authority in the home, and not as a dictator, but as an umbrella, if you can see it that way. A protection, and God gave a family authority, and God gave that authority to be a protection. And when an advertiser aims his campaign at those who are under the authority, he's bypassing their God-given protection. So when Satan came, or when the serpent came to Eve, instead of going to Adam, he was trying to get the entire race to fall. He's trying to get mankind to sin, but he didn't go to Adam. He went to Eve, the one that was under the authority, and he tempted Eve instead. When an advertiser aims his campaign, we can call it a campaign if you want to, the person under authority, he's bypassing the protection that God has given that person. And these advertising campaigns, they promote the attitudes of discontent and rebellion that parents are responsible for correcting. Let me give you an example. We were at the State Fair a couple years ago, and we were walking through the building where everybody's trying to sell you everything. It's a great exercise in self-discipline and willpower, and everybody ought to do it, just, you know, make you a better Christian. So walking through the building, and everybody's trying to sell you this and sell you that, and I like it because they give you a free sample every once in a while. Other than that, I don't really like people getting in my face trying to sell me things. I didn't like that part of traveling out of the country, people trying to sell you things all the time. But one person, I think it was Jonathan, I think he was probably 3 or 4 years old, just little, and he found something that he liked. And he walked over to the table, he started looking at it, and I said, he picked it up, and I said, no, Jonathan, don't get that, don't pick that up, we're not going to buy that, put it back. And the guy trying to sell it said to my son, oh, don't listen to him, you can go ahead and hold it. And that's exactly what we're talking about. We're talking about the one who's trying to sell it, bypassing the authority and talking to the one he's trying to sell it to. And if he can bypass the God-given protection, he's got a great chance of trying to get it sold. So that's why advertisers put so much into advertising through cartoons and through programs that kids are watching. Christmas time is a great example of that. If you watch cartoons during Christmas time, between each of the segments of the cartoon, there's going to be commercials, and they're aimed directly to the kids. And why is that? Because those under authority can put greater pressure on the ones above them, of their parents, than any advertiser could. Let me give you an example from the movie Toy Story, okay? It was something like this. Hey, kids, get the new Buzz Lightyear action figure. Not a flying toy, right? And get this new toy. You've got to have this new toy. What does a kid do? Mom, I've got to have this new toy. Mom doesn't want a Buzz Lightyear action figure, right? She really doesn't need any more toys in the house. She knows that closets are got too much clutter in them already. But when the kid is constantly saying, "Mom, I've got to have it. Mom, I got to have it." Billy has it. Billy has more toys than I do, right? And who's Billy? Are you with me here? So then the parent is getting pressure put on him. The advertiser can't put that much pressure, but the one under authority can. So appealing directly to those who are under authority. Number three is this. The serpent comes and says to the woman, "Hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" He creates doubts about the established rules. Now, this is huge for sin. It's huge in temptation. When the devil wants to get you to sin, he's going to create doubts about the rules that somebody else gave you. Kids, he's going to create doubts about the rules your parents gave you. Your parents have given you some rules for a very good reason to protect you. And the devil's going to come and he's going to get you to doubt those rules. And for whatever reason, my parents probably are just trying to control me. They're trying to cramp my style, limit my life. Wait, those rules are there to protect you. And the devil is just great at getting you to doubt those rules. Eve had only one rule. Don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I don't believe the rule got, as far as we can tell, it didn't say don't touch it. It didn't say don't go near it, although it's probably a good idea not to go near, not to touch it. Eve's the one that said we can't eat it or touch it or we'll die. God had just said don't eat it. She had one rule, don't eat of this tree of knowledge of good and evil. And Satan caused her to focus on her one restriction. Of all the trees in the garden, the tree of life, all the other trees, we don't even know what they were. Of all those trees, here's Eve hanging out under the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I don't know how often she went there. At one point, we know that she did go there, and her main focus out of all the trees and all the fruit was on the one she couldn't have. Isn't that the way life goes? Of all the things that you can have, so many times we're focused on the one thing we can't have. Teenagers, listen, you got a lot of wonderful things. Don't let yourself focus on that one thing you can't have just because mom and dad said no. That's the devil speaking to you. That's how Satan tempted Eve. It's kind of, okay, driver's ed. All right. When I was taking driver's ed, and it happens almost every person that I know of that takes driver's ed learns to drive a car. You've got a huge parking lot to drive around in, all over the place, anywhere you want to drive. And you keep finding yourself running in right next to the dumpster or the light pole or the bush that you're trying to stay away from. Like you're so focused on it, you keep ending up right where you're not supposed to be. The devil uses that. Marketers will use that. The serpent convinced her that she'd be happier and more successful if that one restriction was removed. Think about it. Was she happier and more successful when that one restriction was removed? No. She ended up dying because of it. She condemned the entire, well, and Adam ate of it as well. But both of them, they condemned the entire human race to death. And they sinned because of that. Alluring advertising encourages one generation, the younger generation, to ignore, to question, and to ridicule the standards of their parents, which are based on God's word. If that's the kind of advertising that we're listening to, we're going to find ourselves being pulled towards something that's wrong. Let me give you an example from the 1960s. Virginia Slims, it was a cigarette company. Here's the ad. "Ladies, you've broken through that glass ceiling." I think it was a magazine ad. Did they have TVs in the 1960s? Somebody help me out. All right, I'm just kidding. All right, so magazine ad. "Ladies, you've broken through that glass ceiling and thrown the shackles of the patriarchy to the floor. Now how about a dainty cigarette?" It's a little one. You know, it's cute. It's small. I saw a picture just this last week of an advertisement of a man blowing smoke into a woman's face, and it was supposed to be a good thing. It was back 60s and 70s when a lot of people were smoking stuff like that. So the idea here was that the advertiser is trying to speak to this person and create doubts about the established rules. Let's move on because there's a lot. And then he says, "Ye shall not surely die." God had said, "You shall die. In the day ye eat thereof, ye shall surely die." The serpent comes to Eve and says, "Ye shall not surely die." Here it is. Reject the warnings. The advertiser wants to reject the warnings. And it will reject them. You're not going to do what your parents said was going to happen. You're not going to get sick. You're not going to die. You're not going to get a disease. You're not going to get drunk. You're not going to get into an accident. You're not going to ruin your family or your future. Ye shall not surely die. Even though God clearly warned Eve that she would experience death by eating the forbidden fruit, she allowed Satan to convince her that God's warning, here it is, didn't apply to her. You know, so many times we think we're the exception. Yeah, everybody else will get caught, but I'll be fine. I counsel a lot of marriages and husbands and wives, and so many times they get involved with adultery and just really immoral things, and they thought the consequences didn't apply to me. It's like they think they're living in a bubble, and everybody else is going to get caught, and everybody else is going to have these consequences, but not me. Most people think the bad things that happen to others won't happen to them. When we say our marriage vows, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, till death do us part, nobody thinks it's going to be us. It's always the other people. We think consequences are just for the other people. We think that the warnings are just for the other people. Companies who advertise products that are bad for your health, they count on this tendency for you to think, oh, it's just going to affect other people. It's not going to hurt me. By focusing on the assumed benefits of a product, they disregard the warnings without actually denying the warnings. So many times, they don't say, this isn't going to happen, but they'll focus on the good things. You'll make friends. Never mind that it's going to kill your brain cells. Remember those commercials? I was a kid, so it's probably been early 90s, maybe late 80s. This is your brain. It showed an egg. This is your brain on drugs, and they cracked the egg into the frying pan, sizzling there. Any questions? Great word picture. And the idea behind these advertisers are, that's not really going to happen. People rationalize buying products because the good seems greater than the bad. All right? Why would anybody drink alcohol? Well, the good seems greater than the bad. Somebody convinced them that this is going to be better than the consequences. Cigarettes and other things that you can put into your body that would be dangerous for you. Genesis 3:5, he goes on, and here's the serpent talking again. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. You should be as gods. We'll go into that one in just a moment. Satan, or the serpent, working together, he created discontentment. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened. Satan got Eve to believe that she's missing something in life. You've got everything else out here, but did you try this one? I can just imagine that conversation. We've got most of it here. But if anything else was said, I wonder, come on, Eve, this is the most beautiful fruit in this entire garden. Look how juicy it is. Look how good it looks. Just smell it. Just come feel it. Just put it in your hands and hold it. It's amazing. This will change your life. There's something there that I don't have. That bothers most of us. That's why it's so easy when I don't have a track in my pocket. Right now. I got caught without a track in my pocket. Whenever we give somebody a track and you say, did you get one of these yet? Most people say no, and they'll take it. Because you just told them you have something that they don't have. It's part of us. And if we have discontentment, if there's something that we know we don't have, we want it. God had already given her everything she'd ever need for happiness, for security, for fulfillment. Satan focused on the one thing she didn't have. Just one thing. He offered instant gratification. Well, that's an important word when it comes to shopping. We don't have to have it right now. But so many of us, we buy things because we need it right now. We'll buy it on credit. We'll do whatever we need to do. But if we could learn this wonderful principle of just being content with the things that we have, as the Apostle Paul said, advertising promotes discontentment. Advertising focuses on what we don't have. I haven't watched any yet this year, but watch the car commercials around Christmas time, right around now. The car commercials are based on the neighbor got a new car. I remember one from, I think it was last year or the year before. The neighbor's looking out the window, and their neighbor pulls in with a beautiful new car. And he's kind of like, you know how nosy neighbors are. They're kind of looking out the window, hoping nobody sees them. And the whole commercial is about, they got this new car and we didn't. It's based on discontentment. And the devil will use that to get you to sin. Advertisers will use that to get you to buy something that you don't need. Genesis 3:5. The serpent says, ye shall be as gods. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and ye shall be as gods. And here's the idea behind this one. It's promoting an independent spirit. You don't need somebody to tell you what to do. You don't need somebody to tell you what you can have and what you can't have. You choose what you want. You choose what will be the best for you. Be your own boss. Eve assumed that if she ate the fruit, she'd have everything she needed to become independent. You shall be as gods. You don't need God. You don't have to do what God tells you to do. You can do whatever you want to. You be as gods. More than that, knowing good and evil, we'll get that in just a moment. Here's the idea. The advertisers will want you to believe. Do what is right in your own eyes. If you think it's right, just do it. You know, there's a problem with that. Remember the whole book of Judges. The people did that which was right in their own eyes. I looked. I couldn't find a memory verse out of the book of Judges for us to memorize this year. Every man did that which was right in their own eyes. Over and over and over through the book of Judges, it's terrible story after terrible story because they did what was right in their own eyes. Advertisers want you to believe this. Don't let anything stand between you and everything you want. If they can get you to act on that, to be able to say to you, ye shall be as gods, don't let anything or anybody stand in your way from doing what you want to do. Nike did great with this slogan. Just do it. Just do it. You can do whatever you want to do. Just do it. And in some cases, I like the idea of just do it. I mean, don't let anything stop you. Don't let anything get in your way. But there's some areas where we ought not to apply that. And here's one example of that with Eve. All right, so looking on, Genesis chapter 3, verse 5, ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. An advertiser wants you to depend on your own human reasoning. Makes sense to me. That sounds good to me. Satan wants us to choose between good and evil with our minds. God wants us to discern between good and evil through His Spirit. Can you see the difference there? If it's me trying to make my best decision, I'm going to make a bad decision sometimes. But if it's me saying, God, what do you want me to do? You know, you can do that and speak to God and even ask Him, Holy Spirit, would you guide me in this area of buying this thing, purchasing this item? You know, we can shop as Christians, and it's good. You're probably saying, no, that's spiritual. We're talking about some real stuff here. No, I mean it. Take God shopping with you. I mean, He's there anyway, right? Why not ask Him? Holy Spirit, is this what you would like me to buy? Do I need this? I'm buying things for myself. Do I need this? I mentioned something I bought for myself this morning. I'm being very selfish. And that was a long time ago. Please forgive me for it. But if I could, when I go to buy something and I'm looking at some different options, ask God to guide you. God, would you give me the wisdom to choose the best one here? God wants us to discern between good and evil through His Spirit. Advertisers want to get us thinking like the rest of the world. Let me give you one example. It's different than one I wrote down. I went to a class. It was one of those free classes that's in a hotel conference room. The rich dad, poor dad came to class. How many of you ever heard of the rich dad, poor dad? It's supposed to be a great teaching. And so I never read any of his books, but they came to town. They said, we got free tickets. Come on and you'll learn how to make money and all this. So I went over there, and here's what they wanted to do. During that first session, they were trying to get everybody kind of into a buying frenzy, kind of what they were doing, trying to get everybody excited and get everybody thrilled about their product. One of the things they did was this. The guy stood up there and he is holding, it was like $500 worth of material. And he said, I've got all this material. And if you're going to make it in this business, I think the business was buying people's houses or something like that. If you're going to make it in this business, you're going to have to want it. You're going to have to want it bad. And it was one of those, come in, sit down in this chair, don't talk to people around you, just be quiet. Anybody ever been to one of those? Or am I the only sucker that's ever done this? I am the only one. Okay, I'm warning you, don't go. So then we're all sitting there just kind of watching, you know, very, very, leave the checkbook in the car kind of, very, very hesitant, very cautious about what they might be trying to sell us. At least I was trying to be very careful. And he's got this material that he wants to try to get people to buy. And he said, you gotta have a desire. What would you do? And what would you do to get this? And one person just stood up and grabbed it. And he said, that's it. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to be willing to do. So from that point on in the class, we're like, okay, anything else comes up, we're just grabbing it. He offers anything. I'm grabbing it. He holds a pen up. I'm grabbing it. What was he doing? He's trying to get us all thinking like the rest of this class is thinking, trying to get us all thinking the same way. And then towards the end of it, it wasn't a $500 gift. It was thousands and thousands of dollar opportunity that if you will just buy it now, you're going to make lots of money. What was going on in that class? It was one person, this very good salesman, an advertiser, trying to get the rest of us thinking the way he wanted us to think. So when he was ready, he can give us a product and get us to buy something. Advertisers work that way. The devil works that way. And it's going to depend on your human reasoning, trying to get you to think. Instead of God, what would you want me to do? Me thinking, what do I want to do? Let's move on quickly. Genesis 3:6. And when the woman saw the tree was good for food, advertisers will override cautions to meet basic needs. It's food. We need food. Food's a good thing. So she went to the tree, and now the serpent is saying, "This is it's Eve, it's food. Look, you eat food every day. This is not that strange, it's not that weird. You need food." So he got her to override the caution because, well, it's food. Eve rationalized away God's warning because food's a basic need. You know, products that do not meet basic needs are often associated with things that do meet basic needs. I'm gonna give you a couple examples here. An advertiser will sell you something that you don't need because they tie it in with something that you do need. All right? Eve needed food, but Satan got her to eat the wrong food because she thought, he got her to believe that that was a need that she had. Southern Comfort is an alcohol. I don't really know all the different details about it. We'll ask Brother Reed. Brother Reed, help us out. No. So it's an alcoholic drink that you ought to stay away from. The Bible says wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Very clear warning from the scripture. But here's what they say. Everyone needs a little comfort. Well, yeah. I like comfort. Comfort's good. I feel like I need comfort once in a while. The temperature was hot and the competition was hotter. Now's the time to serve up the cool, refreshing taste of Southern Comfort and orange juice. That was from 1982. So, yeah, I need comfort. Comfort's a something that, as a human being, I desire. I don't like to be uncomfortable. Who likes to be uncomfortable, right? We got these pews with benches in them. We got the heat turned up, and it's nice, and we're comfortable. I know a lot of people in the world live without comfort. I would say for Americans, it's a need. In many areas, okay? You can judge whether how much of a need it is. But what they did is they said, here's the need, comfort, and here's how you're going to get that need, by buying our product. Southern Comfort, here's what they said, was born in a New Orleans bar. It's been bringing people together ever since. I like companionship. I like people sometimes. And I like being around other people and enjoying socializing with people. So I need Southern Comfort. That's the idea. Taking something that you do need and overriding cautions to meet the basic needs. Number 9, Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, advertisers will appeal to the lust of the eye. This gets most of us, and it gets us often. The lust of the eye. I see something that I want. It's really that simple. Eve had never tasted the fruit before. She didn't know if it tasted good or bad. It could have been nasty. You ever, okay, if you, a little wilderness survival training. They say that fruit that are like berries and things like that are good for you or sweet. And those that are poisonous are really bitter or sour. I don't know if that's true in every case, so don't go tasting them because you might get sick. But it may have been sour, it may have been bitter, it may have been nasty. She didn't know, but she thought she needed it because she saw it. It was pleasant to the eyes. She made her decision based on what it looked like. And advertisers use beautiful pictures of beautiful people and beautiful places to imply that these things come with buying the product. Okay, Outback Steakhouse. Oh, that sounds good, doesn't it? I could just go there right now. One of those potatoes that are covered with all that salt on it. Oh, what is it about salt and fat? It's just so good. But here's what they did. How did they advertise it? It wasn't the food. It was the party on the beach. And the idea that when you buy their product, this comes along with it. Volkswagen, that was a year or two ago. They had actually it's probably even longer than that. They had this car, the Passat. Anybody even heard of a Passat? Okay, there's a few of them out there. The vehicle was only shown for the last few seconds of the commercial. The whole commercial was about, let me see if I can remember this. There was a cute kid, a happy mom, a fun dad, a nice house, a new washer and a dryer, a yellow lab, a dog, Labrador Retriever, green grass, tall hedges, and one cool remote feature of the car. And that was the whole advertisement. Then they show the car at the very end. It was the one where the little kid walked out in his little Star Wars outfit and the car scared him with the remote control. Remember that one? It wasn't even about the car. It was about all this other stuff that came with it. These beautiful things that imply that these things come with buying the product. You know, sin is the same way. There's so many things that we are tempted to sin because of all the things that the devil convinces us that comes with it, whether it's fame or fortune or friends or the beautiful people. And we think, I want to be a beautiful people like one of them. We got three more. We got to go quick. Genesis 3:6, a tree to be desired to make one wise. Advertisers offer fulfillment apart from God. Who did Eve need to go to become wise? Well, God. And she had God every day. Wouldn't it be an amazing thing to be able to, I mean, actually walk and talk. You can talk to God every day, but actually be there with Him, physically with Him, and talk with Him. If you have any questions, you know, that's what I'm going to ask Him tomorrow in the cool of the day when I'm walking with God. I'll just ask Him, and He'll tell me. There's no better way to get wisdom than to go to God. She spent time with God every day. Adam was personally trained by God. She didn't need any other source of wisdom. Idolatry is looking to something else for that which only God can provide. Idolatry. Isn't it interesting? Idolatry. Some of the stuff that we have, I wonder if they're idols in our lives because we're looking to that thing to give me what only God can provide. Deceptive advertising leads people to believe they can find security and love and happiness and meet their needs through things. God has other plans for meeting those needs. God wants to give you companionship. God wants to give you fulfillment. I was talking to a husband just the other day, and when a husband and a wife realize that the only way they're going to find complete fulfillment is in God, it's going to help their marriage so much. You're not going to ever be completely fulfilled in your husband or completely fulfilled in your wife. That's a wonderful thing to have that marriage and to have the great relationship. But if that is where you're hoping to get complete fulfillment from, you're not going to get it. And your marriage is going to feel empty eventually. It's got to be from God and that relationship with God that you get that complete fulfillment. A couple more. Designing misleading phrases. You know, only took three sentences to beguile Eve. Just three sentences. Misleading phrases. Advertisers use what we'd call nebulous words, these incomplete phrases that require you to fill in the blanks. And we tend to fill in the blanks with the answers that we want to hear. They'll ask the question and leave it, the answer just open, and we answer it with, well, this is what I would want. This is what I would get. And the devil says, hath God said? And he asked these three questions, these three statements, and in doing that, they were misleading phrases. Genesis 3, verses 4 and 5. He said these two statements, ye shall not surely die, and ye shall be as gods. Two statements, and here's what he was doing. He was denying the product's, I'm going to call that fruit a product for tonight. He was denying the product's weakest points, and an advertiser is going to do that. Whatever the weakest points are, either we're going to ignore it, or we're going to deny those. The Satan said, ye shall not surely die. We knew, as a matter of fact, that she would die. And she did die. The advertiser, in this case, the serpent, said, you're not going to die. He said, ye shall be as gods. He didn't sell her based on the fruit. It wasn't about the fruit. It was about these things that were lies. He didn't discuss the quality of the fruit or its taste or its appearance. He focused on the false idea that Eve would not die by eating it. He denied the consequences of eating the fruit and made them seem like positive qualities. You're going to be like gods, knowing good and evil. Did she know good and evil afterwards? She did. She knew that she was a sinner. All of a sudden, Adam and Eve ate that, and they realized that they were naked, and they went and they hid themselves. Yes, they did know some things afterwards. The advertiser, he took the negative consequences and made them sound good. These are going to be good things. Advertising often takes the weakest point of a product and tries to turn it into a positive quality. Beer commercials, they focus on life. But in reality, they cause so much death. I don't remember what year these statistics were from, but the number of alcohol liver disease deaths in one year recently was over 15,000. Liver disease caused by alcohol. The commercial says, and doesn't say it specifically, but come do this, get involved with this, drink this. Here's life, here's excitement, but look at all these deaths. Alcohol-induced deaths, including accidents, over 24,000. On average, a person dies about every 48 minutes due to an alcohol-impaired driver. They don't say this. Advertisers don't say this. They'll focus on they'll deny the product's weakest points, and they'll even try to twist it so that the weakest points look like the strong points. If you can take this simple lesson, I know I don't have time to finish it tonight. And Brother Adam, I told you I was going to do my best. I made it through 12 points. That's the record, I think. If you can take this, maybe read it over again even and think, okay, so let me apply it to shopping. Let me apply it to advertising and be careful. Be a good steward of what God has given me. But beyond that, if you'll take this and say, I want to live a life for God. I want to live a life that pleases God. I want to do right. And I don't want to sin. I don't want to give in to temptation. Jesus, even in that model prayer, the disciples said, teach us how to pray. And in that model prayer, he's praying to God. And he said, pray like this. He said, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. If you could take some of these principles and say, okay, this is how I want to live. This is how I can recognize the enemy. And when the enemy does this, I will know that it's not of God. It's something that I need to avoid. Father, I pray that you would use these principles tonight. What a great a lesson we have, and an example of somebody who gave in to temptation, gave in to the devil actually trying to get him to do wrong. Lord, I pray that you would use this message tonight to protect somebody. Maybe there's a young person tonight that's been struggling, thinking that there's a better way than the way their parents are teaching them or trying to train them. Lord, I pray that you'd help them to understand that there's not. Or there may be an adult here even tonight that has been considering doing some things that may not be right. And maybe even yielding to some of the temptations that God is putting in their way. I'm sorry, that the Satan's putting in their way. Lord, I pray that you would give us the strength, and I pray that you would give us the courage and help us to be able to do right, to be able to avoid these temptations.